Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
You're as cold as ice. You're willing to sacrifice our love.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Ice Cold Takes podcast. I'm your host, Joey DiMeglio, and the New York Rangers just had a thrilling come-from-behind victory over the Islanders in a shootout, setting a franchise record for most regular season wins with 54. There's a lot to discuss from this week, so let's get right into it. No guests this week. Let's check out the comments here. Rangers Central says, Joey D, what's up, Evan? Big game today. I'm going to start by saying I'm not ready for the playoffs. I am not ready for the playoffs, man. Like, my heart can't take it. This is a regular season game, and my heart was, like, pumping out of my chest. And I couldn't breathe at some points. Like I know the Rangers need to win this game because they only have a 1-point lead in the division, right? And so when it's 2-1 in the third period, I'm freaking out, right? I'm like, they've been playing really well, but they're down in this game. And the Islanders are a team that when they have a lead, they don't really let it up. But then Panarin gets that goal and he ties it up. It was an absolutely perfect shot. I mean, it was a thing of beauty right off the face-off. I mean, you can't put the puck in a better spot than that. I mean, it was so awesome. I mean, that's why you pay the man 11.5 million sheets. He's worth every damn penny of it. And good on him for picking the Rangers over the Islanders in the summer of 2019. For doing that, if it weren't for him, the Rangers would not be in the spot right here. He's having a great season after everyone wrote him off last year. Hey, Uncle Joey. Hi, Vincenzo. Joey, my man. What's up, Matt? I'm concerned for this team. I have seen a lot of red flags these last couple of games. Yes. We'll get to that. 5-on-5 play is a big, big concern. Today it was puck breakouts, I think. There was a lot of bad turnovers. But, you know, the Rangers switched the pairs up. We had Trouba Gustavsson and Miller-Schneider. And Miller-Schneider, that was a fantastic pairing. I believe the shot attempts were in the 20s to, like, single digits when they were on the ice at even strength, which is absolutely incredible. It's a thing of beauty. That's the thing you want to see here. The thing that I disliked about it is that Trouba and Gustavsson saw too much of the ice in the third period. I was way too nervous. As a fan, I was way too nervous about how, you know, they were on the ice, and every time they were on the ice, it seemed like the Islanders had the puck. And every time the Islanders had the puck, they got it like a dangerous chance out of it. And that's a big, big thing here. So hockey's such a momentum-based sport, right? And so when the Islanders had those opportunities, I think one went off the post in like the last, after the Rangers had tied it. You know, that one made my heart sink because I thought it went in. It was that close to giving them the lead back. And, you know, Gustafsson's turning the puck over. My first point here, I've seen enough of Erik Gustafsson. If this is a meritocracy, Jones deserves to play overhand. I'm sorry. I've seen enough of Gustafsson. He's too slow out there, and he has a lot of trouble breaking the puck out. And it doesn't matter that Gustafsson's a veteran. That intangible doesn't mean anything to me. It's the same thing as what we were talking about with Barclay Goodrow earlier in the year. He's got a veteran presence. He's a veteran presence. He's played in the NHL before. My God. Has he won a cup? Right? Like, that intangible is meaningless to me. Saying veteran presence doesn't mean anything to me when he's not showing any of it on the ice. Like, I don't see anything out of it. I see a good, like, maybe first period out of him, and then that's it. After that, it sucks the rest of the way. And if you're talking about the Islanders game earlier this week, that first period sucked from him too. Three goals in the, he was on the ice for two of those three goals. He sucked. I will say this though, Keandre and Schneider need to stay together, and Jones needs to be in the lineup. They play so much better with him in the lineup. Yep. Pierre Engvall was cooking that pair. That's an issue. Yeah, Pierre Engvall was on something. I think after that goal got disallowed, man, that guy turned his energy up to like 15. The guy was determined to get another one. He was one of the Islanders' best players today, along with Brock Nelson, who always seems to be a thorn in the Rangers' side. Jones and Ruedel is a better pairing than Gus and Trouba. Ranting D, angry D, yes, yes. We're here in full force. So just don't you worry. We're going to get more of the rants here today. There's no way the Rangers are going to scratch Jacob Trouba. He's the captain. It's not going to happen. I know a lot of people think he's not good enough to play. And, you know, I see it. I understand it. But it's like the same thing as the Rangers would never go with Fox Miller as a pairing because organizationally, they don't believe that two offensive defensemen could ever be paired together. It's just not a thing. And the irony of that is that they view Trouba as a defensive defenseman, and he's not a defensive defenseman. If you go back into previous podcast episodes where I've talked with Drew Way, and him and I always agreed, like, that guy, Trouba, is an offensive defenseman. The guy steps up a lot. He pinches in the offensive zone forever. Maybe this year has changed a little bit. Maybe he sat back a little too much, but the Rangers don't believe in having two offensive defensemen paired together. So maybe they would do a Trouba-Jones thing. But he's on their radar, Jones. Brooksy's talking about it. Vince Mercogliano's talking about it. Even Brian Boyle was giving him praise. Molly's giving him praise. He's not some, like, you know, here's a couple games. He looks okay, like a good call-up. Like, Zach Jones is a good player. He looks really solid when he's out there. It's so much smoother defensively. Puck retrievals are so much smoother. Breakouts way easier when he's on the ice. And for third pairing, that is fantastic, because third pairs, it seems like they always have an issue breaking the puck back, the puck out. Let's go back in time, the past few seasons. Who have the Rangers' third defensemen been? Patrick Nemeth, Jared Tenorti, Ben Harper, Libor Hájek, and Nico Mikkola. The best one by far out of those is Mikkola. Then we got Gustafsson this year, and Gustafsson, for the most part, has been solid. I mean, his analytics are okay. They'll tell you that they're okay. That was earlier in the season. Since then, it's kind of like gone down. Like, it's not been the same. I know that analytically, it'll probably still look good, but he's turning the puck over a lot, and it's leading to too many high danger chances against, and I don't like that. We can't have that. It's a weak link. Let's get back to like the 5-on-5 play. The Rangers are not, they're never going to dominate at 5-on-5. It seems like it's just like, you know what it is? It's like the 1/x graph. If you've taken calculus, it gets so close, but never touches the asymptote. The Rangers get so close at 5-on-5, but they never get the goal. Until today, it had been like 8 periods since the Rangers had scored a 5-on-5 goal, which is insane. The last time they scored a 5-on-5 goal was Sunday against Montreal. That was Sunday, right? Sunday, because Tuesday was the game against the Islanders. And speaking of that game against the Islanders, let's go over that one first. Man, that game, the Rangers came out slow as molasses. The Islanders are so desperate for points, and the Rangers were not prepared for it at all. And you would think with a first-place team that they would come prepared for that. And it wasn't the case. The Islanders kicked their asses in the first period. First 20 minutes clearly belonged to the Islanders. They ended the period up 3-0, and they were fortunate it was only that. The Rangers were. 5-on-5 play. Again, big, big thing for the Rangers. I made a prediction in that game on Tuesday that the only way the Rangers would be able to come back is if the Islanders let off the gas. And that's kind of what happened. The Islanders, say what you think about it or not, I mean, like, they let off. They did not maintain that energy level at all in that game against on Tuesday. They died down after that. And the Rangers really strung together a bunch of good shifts, and they were able to, generate a lot of momentum. They drew some penalties, and then they scored 2 power play goals to get them to 3-2. Then the third period in that game, I mean, I thought the Rangers had a very solid third period. The only thing is, 5-on-5, they need to attack the middle of the ice more. There's not enough chances in the slot. The Islanders are like kings at masters at defending the slot. The Rangers have such a hard time getting into the middle on them. I don't know how they play against other teams, Islanders, if it's the same thing, but the Rangers just seem to have a very difficult time getting to the middle of the ice. If they match up with them in the first round, you know, that could be their Achilles heel right there. Like, if you can't get good enough scoring chances at even strength, meanwhile, every time the Islanders touch the puck, they can. That's a problem. That's something that the Rangers are going to need to overcome. And I know that the Rangers are having a great season. I know that this is like a franchise, like alter, like a historical season. We're going to go back and look at this one. And like, no Rangers team has ever had more regular season victories. You know, like, this might be a President's Trophy team, winning team. But all that aside, if the Rangers don't step it up at even strength, it's going to be a problem in the playoffs. They need to figure out a way to attack the dirty areas of the ice more. It's not going to be a pretty goal always. Like, the Islanders' goals today were all, like, scrappy goals. The first goal came off of a bad play by VZ. And then the second goal, I don't even know how that wasn't a penalty, how they didn't call a penalty on like a holding the stick. I think it was Palmieri. But again, it was around the net. They always create danger, high chaos, and it makes your heart race as a fan. So that's how the Islanders play. The Rangers need to find a way to inject some of that. Not all of it. They don't need to play like that in all the way through, because the Rangers have their own identity. They have their own style. But inject a little bit of that grittiness and going to the net to get those chances and get those 5-on-5 goals. Back to that game on Tuesday, you know, the Rangers, Zibanejad took a pretty bad hit from Pelech in the middle of the ice. It wasn't intentional. I didn't think it was intentional. Laviolette said after the game that he thought it was vicious and intentional. I didn't see it at all. I think a lot of people saw the same thing. I saw a bunch of camera angles. I really didn't feel that, you know, Pelech went out of his way to hit him like that. Maybe it was an accidentally on purpose kind of thing, but it was nowhere near the viciousness, let's say, of Noah Dobson's hit on Vinny Trocheck at the end of the game. Like, that to me was definitely a penalty. I don't think a suspension worthy hit, maybe a fine, but a penalty, absolutely. I don't know how most of the focus was on that Zibanejad hit rather than that hit on Trocheck, because that one was at the end of the game. The Rangers were cooking it on the power play. They were killing it on the power play. I know it was only 15 seconds left, but the Rangers would have had a 6-on-4 if they win the faceoff and you give Panarin a little bit of time and space. Dude, there's a very good chance that game is tied and going into overtime. But the refs didn't call it, and it was a crappy way to lose the game. You move on, and then you go to the game against the Flyers, where, again, the Rangers were not prepared to face a team desperate for points, team that hadn't won, I think it was like, what, eight in a row, like 2-6, 6-2 or something like that in their last eight. You know, like, that's a team that's very desperate for points, and the Flyers kicked the Rangers' asses again. The Rangers weren't ready to play, and this is a tale of two extremes here. Let's get to this other point here. Surfacing in the news this week, Greg Wyshynski, who is notoriously known for being a Devils fan, but he works for ESPN. I've had him on the podcast. Good guy, fun guy to talk to. He wrote an article with skepticism about the Rangers 5-on-5 play. Even strength play has been not one of the Rangers' strong points this year, according to publicly available models, right? And to me, I think it's a tale of two extremes, like with the power play, let's say. A lot of the time, the Rangers are rewarded with power plays. Like on Tuesday against the Islanders in the second period, they drew those penalties. They were rewarded for those. Lafreniere went in on the forecheck. He was getting in there. Zibanejad went to the front of the net. He took a beating. He took a hit to make a play. You know what I mean? Like, that's, they're earning those power plays. But then you compare it to a game like Thursday where the refs were just handing out penalties just like candy on Halloween. That's when they're gifted with power plays, and that's when it's a problem. When the referees stop calling penalties like that, like easy penalties, then it's a problem, because then the Rangers are going to have nothing to generate offense from. That's why if the Rangers put together shifts like they did today and like they did in the second and third periods on Tuesday against the Islanders, then I'll be way more confident in them in the playoffs. Because if you keep getting chances and keep pushing for offense at even strength, at some point the puck's got to go in. But I mean, you have to get it there. You have to get it to the net. And that's why I said the Rangers have to be, you know, better at getting opportunities in the middle of the ice. That's how I feel. My point is the Rangers, they have to be doing something to draw those penalties. And a lot of the time it comes as a result of strong shifts in the O-zone. There's a difference between drawing versus opponents taking penalties and doing dumb things. Let me take a break here. 1 second.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
All right. So I want to bring up a point from a commenter on Twitter. I have to scroll back here. From yesterday, this was from Kurt. It was like a long one. Okay. Kurt, at Kurt1124, wrote to me yesterday. He said, just a thought. It's unknown whether Valley's clear sight analytics expected goals model is a better predictor of future goals than public expected goals models, or simply looking at shot attempts. What's the deal? Valley looks at the quality of the scoring chance from the point of view of how difficult of a save. Why does this matter? Because in the attempt of getting as accurate as you can at describing what happened in a game, in this case, how difficult of a save, you're not necessarily at the same time fleshing out true talent / uncovering of a real skill. So Valley's expected goals model might account for multi-layered screens in its high danger calculation, but the fact that, say, a Ranger and a defenseman happen to drift in front of the goalie to create a double screen when Lindgren let a wrist shot go from the point may not be something repeatable. And he goes on to say, he's referring to, if you listen to Vince Mercogliano's podcast this week, he had Steve Valiquette on, and Valiquette pushed back on the narrative that the Rangers are subpar at 5-on-5. According to Valley's model, the Rangers are like in the top 10 in expected goals at 5-on-5, something like that. They're creating a lot of opportunities, according to his model, but publicly available models are different. It's like the Rangers are 23rd or something. But all this to say that it doesn't make the Rangers a bad team. This just is just a hole that other teams could exploit and use against them. That's why you'll see fans online complain that the Rangers are subpar at 5-on-5. This is why you'll see people complain that the Rangers are not good enough here and that, you know, they won't win a cup because previous cup winners are all strong at 5-on-5. The Rangers could make that a change because their special teams, other teams would kill to have special teams as good as the Rangers. Did you see how good the Rangers killed the penalties today? Man, that second period was incredible. Everyone standing on their feet, clapping. They killed 6 straight minutes of power play time. 6 minutes in a row without a break. Like, that's insane, unheard of. They had more opportunities shorthanded than the Islanders did on the power play. Like, the Rangers kicked it up to 11 on the penalty kill. It was incredible. Teams would kill to have special teams as good as that. But, I mean, at the end of the day, a power play, the purpose of it is to, you know, you get the goal when you need it. When someone takes a penalty on the other team, when they take a penalty, you need to get that goal. You have an opportunity. You have to take advantage of those opportunities. That's what it's there for. Maybe not every single chance you get is going to be a goal, but when it's 2-1 and you get a key power play with 5 minutes left in the game and you score, that's when it matters the most. They don't come that much in the playoffs. But to address this comment, I think not all shots are equal. For example, the other night there was a shot attempt. I don't know who shot it, but I remember it was a shot and it went straight. It was technically a shot attempt. It went straight into the defender's skates. Now that counts as a shot attempt, but it went nowhere near the net. It was just literally like a foot. It was shot a foot, let go off the stick, and then a foot in front, hits a skate, and then it deflects away. Now, that's a shot attempt, apparently, right? The puck didn't go travel far at all, and it probably counted as a shot attempt. That's what I have a problem of with the publicly available models. They use math to plug stuff in. The expected goals calculation, they lay out the areas of the ice where the goals are scored, right? And they assign a value to it. And then they plug it into a formula. Okay, the shot occurred in this box. This is the value you assign it. Everything is fixed. Doesn't matter if the goalie's moving or not. Valley's model is more targeted, where, like I said, public sites are math-based and tracks many components. Valley's model is more targeted. He looks specifically at the quality of the chance, taking into account the goalie's movement. So the things his guys track are more niche. Like, it's more specific. So the goalie moving, it gives you more perspective and more information with just that one little bite of information. Whereas the public models give you more of a general understanding of what's going on in the game. So if I wanted to, I don't watch the Islanders, right? If I wanted to, I would go and look at the Islanders on the publicly available site, and I could get a general understanding of where their attempts are coming from and like how they score goals, how they are at even strength. But if I look at Valley's model, I could see how their goals are scored more specifically. If they get the puck, if they pass the puck east to west across the slot line in the Royal Road, if they get a lot of breakaways, if they create rebounds, broken plays, that kind of thing. So Valley's model to me seems more qualitative, while the public sites are quantitative. And to address Kurt's point, I think it's similar to how you're supposed to use analytics in the eye test, right? One is not more important than the other. They're both important, and you have to use both of them. You probably should use both of them. And it seems like more people are paying attention, more and more attention to 5-on-5 play based on broadcasts in the media. If you watch today's broadcast on ABC, they were talking about, Mark Messier was talking about how the Rangers lacked goals at 5-on-5 during the second intermission. You know, Bob Wischusen was talking about it. Don LaGreca talks about it on the radio. MSG guys, they talk about it on the pregame and the postgame. Aside from Valiquette, John Gianone's asking questions. This is a thing that's become more prevalent. 5-on-5 and even strength chances are becoming more important. Analytics is taking over here, and it's a good thing. This is something the analytics community has worked very hard to do. I was never on board with it. If you've been a fan of the podcast for a long time, you'll know that. But with analytics, it is very important. You need to have a good balance of both. And I think that NHL GMs should have a good balance of publicly available models and private models, like Sport Logic, like we had Mike Kelly on earlier in the season, or Valiquette's model, for example. It's not just because it's not available to the public doesn't make it like less valuable, if you understand what I mean. The NHL GMs, they value that information a lot, right? That's why they pay to have privately tracked data. It's a lot to keep it like track of. It's not very easy, right? I think there's what, like maybe 15 guys tracking data for Valiquette's website, ClearSight Analytics. I think that's what he was talking about. And then again, a company like SportLogic, if you go back to when I interviewed Mike Kelly, they use artificial intelligence, and they still have to have a staff of guys to like track all of that stuff. It has to be like that way. It's, you know, you have a set definition of what meets that criteria. You have to make it as objective as possible. So in that regard, like the Rangers 5-on-5 play, yes, it's a concern, but they just need to make improvements. It doesn't need to be their entire game, because their entire game is based on like the trap, getting key power plays, Shesterkin making great saves when they need him, like he did today. My gosh, man. Can we talk about how good Shesterkin was today in the third period? The Rangers left him out to dry a few times. Like, there was one point where like the entire team went to the bench and changed while the puck was still in the defensive zone. And Lindgren was like the only defender left, and it was like a 3-on-1 behind the net. And the Islanders got a great chance, and Shesterkin stopped it. And then there was a cross crease. A bad turnover. I forget who turned the puck over, but Lindgren ended up taking a tripping penalty. It found its way to an Islander on an open side, and Shesterkin made a sprawling blocker save, keeping the game within one. And not only that, towards the end of the game, Panarin takes a hooking penalty on the defenseman, Pelech, on a breakaway, leading to another penalty shot. That's the second penalty shot in two games against the Islanders. And Shesterkin stopped them. He stopped them. And then not to mention that terrific windmill, lightning-like glove save a la Doc Emmerich in overtime on Matt Barzal. I'm sure Cale Makar is very, very pleased about that one, with him showing off the leather there. Barzal couldn't believe it. He was looking up. He was smiling, shaking his head. He knew he was done. Like, man, I can't beat this guy. What am I going to do? What do I have to do to beat this goalie? Right? I mean, Sorokin was great too. But Shesterkin, man, he really, really saved the Rangers' asses today. Panarin, like I said in the beginning, this is why you pay the guy the big bucks. The dude came through when the Rangers needed it most. Trocheck wins the faceoff late in the third period, right to Panarin. He steps to the middle of the ice and unloads a wicked wrist shot over the glove hand into the top right corner of the net. It was such a perfect shot. I mean, this is what you pay guys to do. You get the guys. You have to pay for the guys to be that player, right? You can't just write them off because they have a bad playoff run. Then no one will ever come play for you. This is why you go out and acquire them. You acquire them for this moment, to tie the game, to send you to overtime, to get you the extra point. When he scored in the shootout, again, over the glove hand, beautiful shot. Rangers stole a point, an extra point. I thought the Rangers were the better team today. I thought they had more chances. The Islanders were just fortunate to capitalize on the Rangers' mistakes. But then Shesterkin bailed them out at the end. That was the difference maker. When Shesterkin started saving the Rangers' asses for those turnovers, when he made those saves, that's when the game changed. He made such an unbelievable save on whoever the Islander was on the Lindgren trip. That was the turning point right there for me. And that's my ice cold take. That's my ice cold take. If you're listening at home, ice cold take, an accurate statement backed by facts and observations that is solid in nature, similar to a block of ice, i.e. spot on claim. You guys better come up with your own and be ready for the playoffs. I'm not ready. Like, I don't know. Emotionally, my head, my heart, I'm not ready. Like, this is going to be difficult. It's going to be a tough run. No matter who the Rangers match up with in the first round, it's going to be a tough customer. But in other news, let's talk about some other good news. Yesterday, Filip Hedl miraculously returned to practice. I mean, dude, talk about a top line right winger for Zibanejad and Kreider. I mean, Roslovic has been pretty invisible, pretty much Danny Phantom. He hasn't been anywhere near where, like, the Rangers had hoped he would be when they acquired him for pennies on the dollar. But if Hedl could come back, man, that is such a tremendous boost to the team. Like, I don't even know. I was just concerned for his well-being, right? Like, I just hope that he maintained a good quality of life, because there were some people saying that, you know, he might not make it. He might not have a career. Like, this might be done. He might be done, because this is, like, what? Maybe his fourth concussion already, and he's already 24 years old. That's ridiculous. Like, above all else, I just want the man to be healthy enough. Like, I don't want to rush him. But if he's ready to go and he wants to play and he's like, no, I am playing, he tells the team, he gives them like an ultimatum, I'm playing. Put him in the lineup. Number 72, suit up, skate on the right with Kreider and Zibanejad. Roslovic, you get the healthy scratch, man. I'm sorry. You could get Rempe in there if you want, but Roslovic, I see no place for him. And I thought this is a melted take for sure. when the Rangers traded for him, I texted with my old co-host, and the first thing, the immediate thing I thought of, because he was traded from Columbus, and because he's a center, and because he was a first-round pick, Derek Brassard. And I thought maybe there was a chance that he could be like a big-game performer. That is nowhere near close to accurate. So I'm sorry, everybody, for thinking that into the ether. I'm sorry for thinking that was a possibility, a remote possibility, a remote chance at all. I'm sorry for that. But, I mean, if Hedo's back ready to play, by all means, slot him in there. Top line right wing. Third line is set. Cooley, Wenberg, Kako. That's great. They're still playing really well. I thought Wenberg was puck watching. He was puck watching on the go-ahead goal. Still should have been a penalty, but can't be puck watching there. You got to cover that open man. That's your guy. That line at even strength, though, is that's all they play at is even strength. I think they could do some damage in the playoffs, especially if they get the right matchups in their favor. Hell yeah, man. Let's look at these comments here. Roslovic has somehow looked worse than Wheeler on that first line. That's tough to do. Yeah, man. And we were going to go with Pacioretty. So actually, it really wouldn't have made much of a difference, to be honest with you. If the Rangers had traded for Pacioretty, they'd be in the same spot that they're in right now. Like, the Roslovic has really provided nothing. It's Wenberg that has been the better acquisition. And their best trade deadline acquisition could actually be Zach Jones, just from plugging him into the lineup. Because think about it. Before the deadline, he wasn't in there at all. Trouba goes down, he plays, and he's playing out of his mind. He's so confident with the puck. He's so creative. He moves it around. I can't say enough good things about him. I wrote him off. I said, all right, the Rangers, maybe it's not it with him. Maybe this is like a Nils Lundqvist, Vitali Kravtsov situation where he's not good enough. He was a high draft pick, but he's not good enough to crack the roster. Let's trade him for draft pick or prospect or something like that. No. Zach Jones, he needs to play. The kid is good. I'm very confident with him. A couple weeks ago, I said I wouldn't be confident with the Trouba-Jones pairing. I am. I will be. Because I think Jones is more than capable of handling himself. And it's not even because of a 13-game stretch. I think this is who he is. I think this is who he is. I think he could prove a lot of people wrong. He's always had this sort of chip on his shoulder, kind of sort of say, so to speak, of I'm going to come out there and I'm going to prove you wrong, man. Like, yeah, you could send me down. I'll go down. I'll work hard, but I'm going to come back up. I'm going to come back up and you're going to want to promote me. You're going to want me here. You're going to pick me. One of these days, it's going to be me. And it's looking like it is one of those days here. Trouba down to the third pair today. Miller and Schneider back together. Let's look at the on-ice pairs here. I got to look here. Forward lines. Okay. The French Toast line. Out chance. Or shot attempted. 15 shots against. Shot attempts against, sorry, and 14-4. Wow. How about this? Chris Kreider, Mika Zibanejad, Jack Roslovic in 9:19 time on ice. 16 shot attempts for, 2 against. 2. That's unbelievable, man. Zibanejad, I mean, like, bravo to that guy, man. Like, he played his ass off today. I got to give credit where it's due. He didn't score a goal. I know he's still trying to find the back of the net. He played his ass off today. Penalty killing. He was great defensively. He was carrying the puck. He worked so hard to force turnovers. Like, he was playing great today. And I'm giving him credit. I'm sorry. Like, this is how we need him to play. If he keeps playing like this, the goals will come. Don't you worry. That's how I feel about how, like, the Rangers playing at 5-on-5. The goals will come. If he keeps playing this way, he'll start getting the goals. And he looked like he started to shoot a little bit more too, which is great. This is what the Rangers need from him. If he can hit the net with this shot, even better. The shootout attempt, I don't know what the deal is with that. He didn't really make a move. And the Rangers haven't been good on breakaways like during games for whatever reason. It's ridiculous. It's like almost 90 attempts the Rangers have had this year, and they've only scored like 8 or 9 goals. I think Valley was talking about on Steve's pod or on Vince's podcast. Like, that's terrible. And I don't even know how many shootouts the Rangers have been in this year. I want to find like the Trouba pairing. Is there any way I could see that from on Natural Stat Trick? I think so. If I go to line tool, come on. And if I go to Rangers and then I set the players to Trouba Gustafson. Let's go Jacob Trouba. Come on, Erik Gustafson. And then let's do team games. Last one team game. Yes. Okay. At 5-on-5, 12:58 time on ice. This is the Trouba Gustafson pairing. 16 shot attempts for, 14 against when they're on the ice. Let's look at the shots for, 8 shots for, 7 against. 4 scoring chances for, 7 scoring chances against. Not good. 2 high danger chances for, 2 high danger chances against. Okay. So that's, I don't like that. But like I said, if they get Jones in there, maybe it works out for them. Maybe it gets a little bit better. Let's look at Miller and Braden Schneider. Also, Braden Schneider had a hell of a game, man. He was so noticeable. He looked, this might have been his best game as an NHLer. This was awesome. Holy shiza. 16-12 time on ice. Braden Schneider, Keandre Miller. At even strength, 16-12 time on ice, 5-on-5. 27 shot attempts for, 14 against. 12 shots for, 7 against. 1 goal against, no goals for. Expected goals for percentage, 67.22%. 14 scoring chances for, 8 against. 4 high danger chances for, 3 against. I mean, dude, I'm sold. This is a great pair. I like it. I know, like, some analytics will say, based on the numbers that when they were paired together, it wasn't pretty, but they look so much more comfortable moving the puck. It's like a complete reversal. It's like the complete opposite of what Trouba Miller pair was. Trouba Miller, it would take forever to break the puck out because they would constantly be pinned in their own zone. They wouldn't be able to pass, make a clean pass. With Trouba or with Miller and Schneider, it's pucks in, pucks out, pucks in, pucks out. I go retrieve, Miller, you go up, Schneider, you retrieve, or Miller, you retrieve, Schneider, you go out, you skate it out, I could skate it out. They could get it out so many different ways, and it's quick, it's fast, and they're clean passes too. Like they seem to be in good communication with each other, which is a great thing. I think that pair needs to stay. I hope Laviolette doesn't go back to Miller, Trouba. I hope that stays a thing. I know he said after practice yesterday or whatever it was. I think it was yesterday when they teased the pairs. I know he said it was like just a change of scenery. This was great. Today they were great. They flushed out so many chances in like the first two periods. I'm very confident with how they played. Fox Lindgren could step it up a little bit. Let's look at and see how they were. Because I actually don't know. Fox Lindgren today. Okay. So in 14:06 time on ice at 5-on-5, 26 shot attempts, 420 against, 15 shots, 410 against when they're on the ice, 1 goal for, 1 goal against, 52.58 expected goals for percentage. And the scoring chance is 415 to 11. And then 8 high danger chances for, 5 against. So actually not a bad day for those guys, like analytics-wise, according to Natural Stat Trick. I'm going to put that disclaimer in there because, I mean, the eye test might tell you one thing. Lindgren did take a penalty, a tripping penalty, but it was pretty much necessary because if that guy got the shot off, that's probably a goal. He did set up a cross-creaser, and Shesterkin made that miraculous save I was speaking about earlier. But yeah, Fox Lindgren, we know it works. That's fine. Miller Schneider, again, we know it works. That's fine. Maybe the Rangers try slotting in Jones, giving Gustafson a rest for the final game of the season. That would be nice. I would like to see Jones get in there. Dude, I think he should get game one of the playoffs. I do. I do. I think he's earned it. Let's move on to one thing here that another rant that I might have to go on here. So earlier this week, if you guys are not on Rangers Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it, I'm not calling it that, the Rangers Twitter, we had some drama concerning a podcaster, the podcast lady, let's call her. And I don't usually talk about this stuff just because, like, I don't want to get in trouble or anything. But, I mean, this stuff kind of bothered me because, like, I work hard to be a podcaster and to create content for people and get interviews with guys like Valaket or Kevin Weeks. I work my ass off to get Callahan. Like, it's not easy, man. It's so difficult. Like, do you think, like, if I had given up and had just cried, like, oh, he didn't pick me because I'm a dude or because I'm Joey, like, how would that have looked? That would have looked like crap. No, I put my head down and I kept tweeting. I kept tracking the days. Day one, day two, day three. This isn't a thing like to say, like to shove it in the face of the person saying, like, this is a slap in the face to me. How dare you mock me for not responding to me? No, this is tracking for me. This is like a personal goal. How many days is it going to take for me to get in touch with this person? That's how I feel it is. Well, this podcast lady claims that it's sexist for Jacob Trouba not to respond to her for her podcast claims when no one even knows who the hell she is. Like, this is ridiculous, man. I'm sorry. Actually, I'm not sorry. Like, this is ridiculous. This is the way the media works. They don't know who you are. They have no idea who you are. They really don't want to do it. But if you're a genuine person and you approach them with respect and kindness, then maybe they will be more willing to come on your podcast, right? You have to start somewhere. You can't just give up, like, not even a step of the way there and say, oh, he went on this other person's podcast. He went on Friedman's podcast. He's sexist. Right? Like, this is ridiculous here. Imagine if I gave up on Kevin Weeks at, like, day two, and I said, like, oh, Kevin Weeks doesn't want to be on my show. He's a loser. Like, what kind of an idiot would that make me? Right? Like, I would not have this podcast if I did that. I wouldn't be here. None of you guys would be watching. So what people really should do, what podcast ladies should do, is just shut up. Honestly, like, shut up. Put your head down and work. Like, she's older than me for sure. She's seen more of the world than me, but at least I have the maturity and the respect for other people. And I have such an understanding of the journalism and the media field to understand that they are not obligated to respond to you and say yes to you. I keep going because I don't hear no. You have to physically tell me, no, I will not come on your podcast. And then I'll stop asking. I won't give up until that is said. I'm not going to give up and say, like, all right, I don't go on with Italian podcasters or something like that, something ridiculous like that. You kidding me? You see how ridiculous that sounds? She promised she will behave. Oh, yeah. Yeah. As if she has. Hasn't she? Has she not? Has she behaved since then? No. This is a complete mockery of the Rangers fan base and other podcasters and content creators. And deep, frankly, I'm offended by this. Like, I'm not one to be like that, but I work my ass off to have this, to have this poster, to have this microphone, to have Ryan Callahan, to have Kevin Weeks on my show, to get into the sports media field. And I got to call. I'm going to call other people out. I'm not going to sit idly by and just watch, like, oh, yeah, you're doing it all wrong. No, I'm going to call you the frick out. Like, Jesus, this is Bush League. Yeah, work ethic D. That's right. Podcast D. So, I mean, instead of getting mad that things aren't working out in your favor, what are you going to do about it to make it work? Are you just going to stop, twiddle your thumbs, turn around and go home? Or are you going to keep working and push yourself to get that guy on? That's why I started my Brian Boyle chase. I'll get him on the show and I'll get Rick DiPietro on. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. I know they'll respond because they haven't said no to me. I'm not going to stop because they haven't responded, I'm going to keep trying. And they're going to see my persistence, and that'll rub off on them. It always does. And if it doesn't and they say no to me, so be it. I'll try with the next person. But it's not going to stop me from being a podcaster and a Rangers content creator. So what people really need to do, what content creators like that need to do, is take a page out of my book and keep working hard. Podcast lady, you should be ashamed of yourself. And honestly, like, get off social media for a little bit. If you care about your well-being, because these people are ruthless online. You know how they are. Get off the phone. Get off the phone. And, you know, reassess yourself. Think about what you want to do. And this is like from one content creator to another, right? Like, if you care about your work, you're going to put more effort into it. You're not going to give up and claim that, you know, something's not working out because of sexism. That's not how it works. You can't do that. It's a bad look. You see how other people are responding to that. It's ridiculous. Get off the phone. Get off the phone, as the great Donnie Pucks would say to Gil in Bensonhurst. Well, guys, I don't know. I think I had enough rants today. The Rangers, man, they make my heart race. I love them no matter what. I'm with the team, ride or die. I'll call them out when it's necessary, but I'll be damned if I'm not calling them out when they're doing something great. I'll always do that. I will always, you know, make it a point that when the Rangers are playing well, I want other people to know about it. That's my damn team. This is my team. This is the team that I root for, and I love them. So that's why I think they're cup contenders and stuff like that. You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to let other people know, but when they're playing poorly, I'll call that out as well. You know, that's the thing. I think media personalities too, they might be a bit hesitant to fully go into the negative side of things when things are going so well for the team this year. Yeah, there are negatives, and they're going to be slumps, just like in December, January, that two-month slump where the Rangers were playing mediocre hockey. I didn't buy into it at first, but come January, when the Rangers were playing like crap, yeah, the Rangers, I called them out. And, you know, this is not like a thing like, okay, yeah, oh, they're still in first place, yeah. Why are you still complaining? We're complaining because it's a hole that other teams can exploit. We don't want to see the season end. That's why we're afraid. We're Mets fans too. It's like that TikTok. We're Mets fans. Of course we know when a lead is about to be blown. Of course we know what it feels like to have our hearts broken. We're Mets fans. Of course we know what it's like to have the bullpen blow the lead in the ninth inning in the game seven of the World Series or something like that. You know, Booer. Good stream, Joey. One more game left, and then the frustration really starts. You know, lucky for us, the last game is on Monday, and we have time. I think, when is the Saturday? The 20th is when the playoffs begin. So the Rangers will probably play that first day. If not, they're going to play on Sunday, the 21st. So it'll be some much-needed rest for the players, and for us, more importantly, for our heart rates to reset, to get our heads in the game, to get mentally and emotionally prepared for this playoff run. I hope it's a long run, a long one. But either way, we'll be back next week with another episode of Ice Cold Takes. Thank you all for listening. Go Rangers. Thank you, Preach Joey. Preach, we criticize because we care. That's right, Matt. We love you guys. Rangers fans, we're in it together. We root this for this team. We are one and the same. We have to stick together throughout this run. Hopefully the Rangers can string together 16 wins and come away with a Stanley Cup over their heads in June. So with that, I'm Joey D. We're wrapping it up. Goodbye, everyone. Have a nice week. Go Rangers.
Hey, Rangers fans. Thank you so much for listening to the Ice Cold Takes podcast this week. Make sure you follow at Ice Cold Takes Pod on Twitter to stay up to date with the latest Rangers info. See you all next week.
Time. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. I know.